Blog Talk Radio.
Om Shabbat Shalom, Holy Way of the Most High. Om Shabbat Shalom, Om Shabbat Shalom.
Sorry about that start there. We're doing a little shifting around here this evening, so hang in there with us.
The first Earth Goddess Rising Retreat is set for July 11, 12, and 13 of 2014 and will be held in stunning Pagosa Springs, Colorado. Come join us with other men and women from around the world for yoga, meditation, classes, organic meals, dance and music festivities, healing workshops, hot mineral springs, and more. Want more information? Visit earthgoddessrising.com and cash in on the early bird ticket sales, earthgoddessrising.com.
Thank you for joining me here tonight on Activating Compassion in the Midnight Hour. My name is Jessie Ann Nichols-George, and I'm your hostess this evening. And we were listening to a a little taste of some music coming in for our guest tonight, which is from the Earth Goddess Rising, and that is one of their theme songs for the event that's going on. And some of you are a little bit familiar because you've heard some of the promotions prior to tonight in months where they've been on the show, and we've had a little bit of information coming in, and we're going to explore a little bit deeper on them tonight. And so that was just a little taste of their music, and I want to say welcome to those that are returning as well as those that are joining us here for the first time. We are now streaming live in three additional places: TalkStream Live, Stream Finder, and also Para Encounters Network, also known as PEN. And I'm also welcoming everyone that's listening through there, as well as those that are catching things in our archives through our YouTube version, TuneIn.com, the podcast there, and iTunes as well. So lots of places that I know people are listening in and catching the show. And here at Activating Compassion in the Midnight Hour, I look at the different ways that compassion exists in our lives, how to remove our blocks, resistances, frustrations, and more. Some weeks I'm discussing different aspects of how compassion is in our life, how it affects our life, and the different areas of compassion. And, you know, some weeks I'm doing more exercises, practical implementations. Many times I've got amazing guests on the show, and we're going to have a great round table of guests this evening, by the way. And then also I look at different musical artists. We've had Stephen Halpern, Peter Cater on the show. I'm still lining up actually some really great musical guests, but you're going to have to wait and stay tuned for who those are going to be. Once we have the dates set in place for when we'll actually air their shows, we'll be letting you know on those as well. So it's a great way to see how other things and other people's work complement and work with compassion. Now, in my own work, I focus on helping people find and use compassion in their everyday life. I've created the Genesis Clearing Statement, and that's something you can catch in our archives if you've missed that in the past. I've authored 4 books, the most recent being You, Me, Life Dreams, and its companion workbook, as well as my first 2 books, Activating Compassion and its companion workbook. In addition, I've created the Compassion Tour, which is a multi-state nationwide tour, including workshops, retreats, seminars, book signings, and fundraising events. And you can actually follow all of the events that I do, particularly the live ones, at my event site, and that would be at jessieannnicholsgeorge.eventbrite.com. That's also a link in the show description area for those that are watching through the blog talk area. You'll find it there. And then just a reminder, if you enjoy the show this evening, make sure you tell your friends and family and, you know, significant others, all those Facebook buddies out there, things like that, because, you know, I find that when I share the show, there's almost always somebody that goes, wow, that's really interesting. Or, you know, they'll come back and they'll go, man, you have no idea how timely this was. This is exactly what I needed to hear. This is exactly the discussion I was having the other day. So you never know whose life you're going to impact just by clicking that share button on there. And they can come back, listen to it in our archives, which, by the way, are available immediately after the show that is a up and running. Again, they can catch it on iTunes or TuneIn.com as a podcast, as well as on my YouTube channel. So lots of options for catching it. And before we get started, a lot of you know I like to delve into a little book called The 72 Names of God, called Technology for the Soul, which is by Yehuda Berg. Great Kabbalah master Yehuda is, and he's taken those names and he's translated them into everyday language. And I love that about him, because that's a lot how I work as well, taking those big complex subjects and topics and bringing them into our everyday lives. So let's take a look and see what Yehuda has for us tonight. And the message that he's got is, well, let's start with the common name, actually, of God on this, angelic influences. So this is really great, because this really kind of, I think, fits in with the theme, Earth Goddess Rising tonight. The universe is seething with both positive and negative angelic forces. Forget those images of cherubs. In truth, an angel is a particle of spiritual energy. And like subatomic particles, angels pop in and out of existence from our words, thoughts, and actions. The insight he gives on this is, our senses and consciousness are, by design, limited. Therefore, the power of angels remains out of sight to the eye and elusive to the rational mind. But like the wind, gravity, or radiation, the influence of angels is very real. Did you ever, one, accidentally slip and fall for no reason? Maybe hit your thumb instead of the nail with a hammer? Make a really, really stupid decision? Experience a losing streak that seemed to never end? This is the influence of negative angelic forces at work. Good fortune is the result of influence of positive angels. Acts and words that embody sharing, tolerance, compassion, and self-control over our ego and its constant stream of judgments ignite positive forces. They also end the existence of negative angels. Behavior that exemplifies selfishness and intolerance creates negative forces. According to quantum physics, countless subatomic particles are constantly coming in and out of existence in all parts of the universe at every moment. At this microscopic level, these so-called virtual particles can pop into existence for brief moments before returning to nothingness, causing up and down energy fluctuations. This is another example of science discovering the physical counterpart of spiritual reality. And the meditation that he gives on this is, using this name, you now access the network of angels. You remove negative angels and their chaotic influence from your life. You ignite the force of positive angels, and all this power is activated by your sincere commitment toward transforming your character. Again, the common name is Angelic Influences, and the formal name is He Zion Yud. That's He Zion Yud, and that will actually be available on my page on my website of the Main Street Universe tab. So if you go onto my website, jessieannnicholsgeorge1.com, click on the Main Street Universe tab, you'll see my name there. And like I said, that will go up right after the show, so you should be able to see that, oh, I don't know, about 30 minutes, an hour after the show. And also all the archived shows are kept there as well, by the way, for not only myself, but all of the guests on Main Street Universe Network here. Now, a little something here before we delve into bringing our guest on. What comes to mind when you think of a retreat? Now, how often have you had the chance to gather with others and learn and discover? Now, I come from a time when everyone did retreats regularly. Companies did them at least once a year with executives and employees. Individuals came from the mindset of wanting to meet people face-to-face, and hey, if the retreat was a total dive, they still had a nice weekend away in a beautiful setting. However, today, people seem to be loaded with excuses, and some are valid and some are not. It concerns me that we've gotten away from the live interactions. People get complacent being in front of the computer screen. They will use money and time as an excuse to not participate and then wonder why they have no money or time. Participation is a big part of connecting with the divine. And when we are not connecting with the divine, well, we lose money and time. Quite ironic, really. However, there is nothing that can restore the senses like a weekend away. It is sad to me when I see people not getting out and partaking in these live events because from what I am seeing today, they are filled with more and more to engage the senses than ever before. Back in the day, you might have had a beautiful setting. However, you were still listening to speakers all day, pretty much like attending a conference but in a rural environment. Today, however, we now find that there are yoga classes, people with services to engage with, activities to participate in, and a few speakers. And I'm noticing that even the speakers are not always doing straight lectures as they seek more interactive ways of presenting their material. Also, many have gone to healthier cuisines with vegan options. What I wonder is what it will take to really have these booming again. They offer more and see fewer people. Even when opportunities are offered for free, there seems to be a lack of participants. Have we really gotten that lazy? Is fully connecting with spirit gotten that unimportant to us? Earth Goddess Rising is one of the new retreats happening that is engaging the senses on multiple levels. And I just can't emphasize enough how important these experiences are. No matter if it is the same course, it will never be the same experience on the internet. The connections, the friendships, the interaction, the engagement is really what brings the lessons and insights and information home. While understanding things might be a solo journey, the process is not. We are meant to connect and interact, and nothing can replace that. It is critical to step out of our homes and to leave our ordinary world behind for a day or a weekend. It is as critical to our well-being as eating, drinking water, sleeping, or any other basic need. Exploring new places, people, things, and simply getting live experiences that connect us with the divine are an essential that we cannot, absolutely cannot afford to do without. Do you want to talk about time efficiency or how to save money? A weekend away actually does this. What is often received in a weekend away costs less than the average home study program. It takes one weekend, and you often receive as much, if not more, than as spending weeks and months doing things on the internet, pulling all the pieces together. Plus, you can never learn as well online as you can in person. Why? Because you're not engaging as many senses online and are coming from a more masculine energy, logical mind approach. In reality, you are only engaging about half of your senses and half of yourself. How long has it been since you went to a retreat? What did it encompass? How did it shift your senses? This week, our guests are focusing on a component of compassion that is related to the aspect in my books of finding your truth. This is a journey of discovery, of listening to your soul and its desires and needs. It is about embracing the process of sharing what is in your heart with others. And I'm going to start, because we're going to change it up a little bit tonight with what we've got going on. And I'm actually going to jump right in and bring the founder of Earth Goddess Rising on the air, Dawana Babayan, and hopefully I got her name pronounced right, but maybe not. She can correct me here. And Dawana, I want to welcome you to Activating Compassion in the Midnight Hour.
Thank you so much, Jesse. I feel honored to be here with you.
You know, it's really great. Dawana and I met when I was doing a speaking engagement last year at the Matriarch Gathering. It was last fall. And we got to talking, and she was sharing this dream and this vision with me, and I was like, oh, it sounds really, really wonderful. And then the next thing, I'm sending some messages out through my social media, and she's like, I still want to take advantage of it. I'm putting my dream in motion.
Yeah.
And so share with us a little bit. How did you get to this point? What brought this inspiration about? Because you've done an amazing job in a short period of time.
Well, I think that for some of us, half the battle is discovering what your gifts are and then putting it together and sharing it with the world. And so I always knew that I wanted to help people. So back in the 90s, it kind of manifested where I thought I was supposed to be a nurse. So I started taking classes, but then I realized, well, that's not what it is. So I've started focusing on healing, and as an intuitive, I wanted to use these gifts that I have to create something special for people to, you know, not just impact one person, but bring many together and assist with their healing and empowering each other and bringing about the miracle workers that can be the catalyst for these people. So I was inspired, and it's going to sound kind of funny, because I was inspired by summer camp as well as a past life regression that I had where I experienced being in heaven. So for me, I wanted to bring people together in nature and try to create a little bit of heaven on earth, which is not going to be easy, but I do remember what heaven felt like. So that's, you know, I kind of have an edge there, but... And it was very beautiful. It was this high vibration of love. But being out in nature is healing in itself. So I figured we'd bring people together amongst the pine trees and have a restorative healing retreat.
You know, I remember my days at summer camp too, and they had to be some of the best times. And like you, I think more and more of us that are doing this work in the world are reminding people you've got to get out into nature. It is such a big piece. Matter of fact, I was talking with somebody about this the other day, and she's, was really in this spiral, which a lot of people have been lately. Mm-hmm. And I said, you need to walk away from your phones and your computers and your TV set. And she goes, what? Mm-hmm. And I said, you need to go take a walk on the beach. Mm-hmm. You need to just go be in nature, because it will help your energy out.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And you're
it's
right.
Alone
this
is
where
healing.
We with the divine.
Mm-hmm.
It absolutely is. So now take us on this journey with you a little bit. You got this vision and you connected with the divine, and you said, this is what I want to bring to the world. I want people
yes.
to get these experiences. So now what do you do?
Well, basically, I'll use my gift of intuition and being able to see things. And so I asked my guides, show me how you want me to do this so that I can help people and create something that when people leave, they are actually leaving with something better than they came with. Maybe it's frequencies because they emptied their cup and they refilled with a higher frequency. And I really wanted to help out in the area of the divine feminine, because this is what we are, many of us in a collective group, are being called to do. We are here to assist in bringing in the divine feminine energies and balancing the masculine, because our earth needs that right now. It's been thousands of years, and the whole divine feminine aspect of God has been completely trampled on. So that was part of the theme, was to honor and embrace this within each one of us. And really, we need to heal a lot of our issues. Many of us are carrying around things we don't even realize. We have maybe a resentment to the opposite sex, or, we've all experienced some kind of prejudice regardless in that area. So I thought the best way, when I talk to my guides and things, they let me know, well, first you got to heal these issues, and then, of course, you're going to have to refill. And so that's one of the reasons why we have some attunements on Sunday, is because we don't want to just empty our cup. We've got to leave better than we came. And, of course, I saw the whole weekend where it had a theme. And going back to my summer camp vision, was we had toga party. And I remember that was the fun part of the entire thing, was wearing a sheet, because they didn't tell us to bring a costume. So I thought, if we're embracing our Divinity Day, that would be a fun thing to do. And it isn't necessary, but it's just part of, embracing our divinity. We want to, feel like a god or goddess, so that, we can incorporate that. The heaven experience was very powerful. That one, brought tears to my eyes because of the frequency of love. And it was actually a vibration. And when I looked at my body, I didn't have a body, obviously. It was like a bubble that was pastel rainbow colors. But it was an amazing experience. So when I pictured this event, I want to make it magical for people. I want it to be an experience for them that they won't forget, for each person. And I see it as a beautiful, almost like a beautiful outdoor wedding. We're going to have tents and lights at night, and create the magic that I feel that, is part of my gift to share with the world, and actually have a purpose and help people heal and empower, bring about the, like I was saying earlier, the teachers that live in their heart space, because those are the people who can be the catalyst for others in, their next stage of transformation, whatever that looks like for each person. So that's my big vision for the event.
That's the big vision that's going on there.
Yeah.
Now, I have something coming in from the chat room, and I'm not sure how you can, if this is really your area, but it will be interesting to get your thoughts on it. And the question is, do you believe that we are close to evolving? And, I know that's like a huge, gigantic topic. In my book, I could probably spend at least a week or two or 20 talking about that. But let's take it in an area of really how do you see Earth Goddess Rising help us in our evolving nature? Because these are huge transformational times. I think there's no question that we're evolving. But how is Earth Goddess Rising helping people to do this?
Well, and I believe that people are going to evolve at their own rate that they're comfortable with anyway. So to me, it feels like something, if a person feels drawn or called to the event, there's something their soul wants to experience, whether their conscious mind is aware of it. It's something that they may need. They may receive an attunement that they need, you know. As far as evolving, I do believe that, and I know there's so much material on that as far as the earth is ascending and... but I do realize that everyone's at a different stage within their, you know, this evolving. Not everyone is at the same consciousness level. So hopefully we can all get to a place where we are operating out of our heart space, because that's where our power is. It's not in our ego mind. The ego mind has no power. So, you know, and I think Earth Goddess Rising is going to bring about the people who can help with each person and assist with their next stage, whatever that is. Like I said, everyone's at a different place in their life. So, and I hope to do that. That is the goal, is to help people with their own stage of development.
And I think you've actually drawn together, I would say, a pretty amazing group of people that are participating in this. And, you've really pulled together some names of people and pulled them from every aspect of the country. And, you know, I do see, again, in the chat room, we've got this question, you know, don't we all need to evolve at once, or don't we evolve at all? And I think that's kind of moving a little bit off of our topic tonight, but... in addressing that question, we are all evolving at one time, and I think you touched on this, but we evolve at different rates, you know, to actually be exactly the same. It doesn't happen because of the way the universe is structured. There's a law and balance, you know, checks and balances system. You know, there's always going to be variations of where souls are at and everything. But I think this is where we start to get into all those terminologies in things. And I think the key is that the more I think people make their individual evolvement, the more we evolve as a collective. And maybe you can... comment on that.
Oh, definitely. That's what we all want to see. You know, the spiritual seekers and truth seekers, we want to see each person evolve, and because that's the only way change will ever happen, is if people are actually trying to be better. And so, yeah, I totally agree with you. I don't think I could have even said it better, actually.
There's the aspect, I think, too, that inside of each one of us is the connection to the all. So every time we evolve ourselves as an individual, there's no way, you know, everybody will evolve from that with every step we take on ourselves. But share with us a little bit of the lineup, because we are going to get into a couple of the people that are going to be presenting at your event. Share with us the lineup of people that you have coming in for this event and some of the topics addressed.
Well, with the theme of healing and releasing, which is our Friday event, we have Annabelle, who is going to be teaching womb awakening, which is something I think is very important with the divine feminine and masculine and healing that. and something I haven't actually even taken this course or know much about it. I've read about it, and I thought, ooh, that looks really good. That looks like something we need to have a part of this event. And then, of course, it's our healing releasing day. So we have Lauren Lane Powell, who, as far as I know, she healed herself from stage 4 cancer, which is not something, you know, very many people have done. And so she's a great example, and she produces beautiful music. And then we have Sherry Bilger, who I had over and hosted her with classes, so I know firsthand the stuff that she does. She is amazing in her own right with the, you know, her healing work that she does. So she's going to do healing the inner child, which is really important because most people have no idea that they're still carrying around these issues from childhood. So it's important to release that stuff so that, you know, we can be healthier. So that's Friday. And then Saturday we have Susanna Sophia. Oh, I'm sorry. I forgot one of the big highlights of Friday. I forgot that we're going to be having the hot springs outing that evening. And Tanishka, she's coming all the way from Australia, and she will be doing our water alchemy ceremony. And that, if you will, picture like in ancient days, you know, where the women would get together, the goddesses in the temple, and they'd consecrate their vessels prior to any spiritual work. So we're all going to be in this water, and it's going to be a magical experience there. And then going back to Saturday is our Embrace Our Divinity Day. And then that was the day I mentioned earlier about, you know, where we could wear a costume. But we have Susanna Sophia, and she's going to be on tonight as well. And I attended a three-day event at her place in Sedona, and she is just amazing with her magic that she brings to anything. And she's so full of love, and it was an amazing event that she put on in Sedona. So I know that what she can bring to this event as well, is, and she deals a lot with Mary Magdalene and Yeshua. So let's see, Saturday, I'm having to remember here. What else?
I know how that goes.
Yeah, I'm like, wait a minute here. I'm only thinking of who's on the call at the moment. And then we have Randall Stands with Bear. He's pretty cool. He, I don't know what, you know, a lot of people have different views of the fairy kingdom, but he can speak their language, and he also said that he experienced a download for DNA activation, and he produces beautiful music, and so he's going to be offering a workshop. And let's see, we have our ecstatic dance that night. We have the full moon ceremony, and then we have the ecstatic dance with Cameron Powers and Christina Sophia. And they do a Middle Eastern type music. It really makes you want to move. It's kind of like an Egyptian style, and it's ancient music, and it's really beautiful. And Cameron has a way of getting everyone out there dancing. So that's going to be the way we end our Saturday. So that's our celebration day pretty much is Saturday. And then, of course, Sunday is our embody theme day. And we have Justice Bartlett, and she is really cool. I haven't actually met her in person, but I love her energy, and she's been a part of the Matrix Energetics team. So she's going to bring her gifts and do a, I believe it's called an Embody Me activation or attunement. And let's see, who else do we have on the schedule?
It's a great lineup. Working.
Yeah, it's the people have their gifts and they're bringing them, and it's going to be a beautiful experience. Let's see, I'm trying to think. So we have several activation achievements, but we also have some classes as well on Sunday. And then, of course, we're going to end it with music and like a little concert where we'll have different people do their music. And you know, throughout the event, there'll always be a lot of music, but it's just, I wanted to create something magical for everyone, but something with purpose. So when they leave, they just, you know, they feel restored. They're, you know, rejuvenated. And whatever they, you know, we're going to set our intentions. So hopefully we can, you know, pull it through where people experience what it is they need at that time.
Which I think is perfect. And, you know, we're going to stay open because this is actually part of a two-part series for Earth Goddess Rising for this event, because I knew there was no way I could cover it all in one show. There's just way too much on. Mm-hmm. And And what we'll do is we'll certainly stay open to Dawana coming back on with us during the segment, the second segment, since she is the founder of this event, and things, because I do want to make sure that we get some time as well for the guests that we have that are on tonight as well for presenting. We have Annabelle Fascaro and Laura Lane Powell with us. We had messaged Susanna was coming in, but I haven't seen her yet pop into the queue, so I'm going to keep watching for her and watch for her to come through as well in the queue in here. And I'm just taking a quick look here. I just got something here. I've got somebody saying, you know, so do the goddesses work with you like angels and spirit guides? Because I have one goddess that comes up in my angel card readings all the time. You know, definitely we tend to have those angels that are with us. And goddesses oftentimes will find that there's certain alignments. I don't know how you feel about that, Dawana, but I find that usually we align to a certain culture or we do align to specific goddesses.
Oh, yeah.
Much we have specific angels that tend to be with us all the time as well.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, it's funny because I had learned there's, well, I had heard this and I never understood it, but my main guide that's been with me my entire life, well, because I remember when I was 5 and it was my birthday and I heard her name, and her name was Mary. And when I was in my 20s, I was driving down the road and I'm like, who are you? You know, I guess I was like one of those crazy people because I could hear a voice and I could talk to it. And that's when I started going, what the heck's happening? And I didn't realize there was such a thing as spirit guides. But anyway, so she told me her name was Mary Magdalene. And I'm like, I don't know who that is other than it's a name in the Bible at that time. So that shows where my consciousness level was because I didn't really know anything about her. So I think there is a collective that is called the Mary Collective, or that's what I've heard. And there's a lot of people who work with Mary Magdalene or Mother Mary or Jesus. So it's not just me. It's many, many people, thousands. And so, yeah, so that's kind of what I think her role right now in this time is to be the one that helps us humans to bring back the divine feminine, the, you know, embracing that and bringing that to people's attention that, hey, this needs to take place. We need this balance right now because we're so way off. You know, with this masculine force going on that isn't necessarily it is positive, masculine is positive, but it's not a positive thing for our earth right now to be so out of balance. So, yes, I do work with my guides and my celestial.
And I agree with you. Mary Magdalene is one of mine as well, has been very, very active in my life for particularly the last 7 years. There, so I understand completely what you're saying. Dawana, I want to thank you for being with us and coming in and giving us some highlights on what is happening in this event, and it's been a pleasure to have you come on and do this sharing. We're going to be doing a little break song here, and then I'm going to be bringing on Lauren Lane Powell, who is one of the presenters at Earth Goddess Rising. We'll be back in just a few minutes.
Thank you.
And this song by Lauren is called Angel Flying Song.
Fly with angels, angels flying once upon a time. as I grew, my attention turned to other things. I soon neglected my family with wings. Time made me jaded, my memory faded. I seldom remembered my dream. Once upon a time, I used to fly with angels, higher than the trees, much higher than the clouds. Once upon a time, I used to fly with angels, angels flying once upon a time. When I'm an old woman, preparing for my rest, will I see my family of angels from the past? Smiling faces tell me that I'll not be alone. Weird graces beckoning, they'll come to take me home. Once upon a time, I used to fly with angels, higher than the trees, much higher than the clouds. Once upon a time, I used to fly with angels, angels flying once upon a time, angels flying used to fly with angels.
Welcome back. You are listening to Activating Compassion in the Midnight Hour, and we were just listening to Angel Flying Song by Lauren Lane Powell, who we're getting ready to bring on. And she is part of an incredible event that is going on called Earth Goddess Rising. And if you'd like to find out more about Earth Goddess Rising, by the way, not only is there a link at the bottom of the show description, but you can go to www.earthgoddessrising.com, get a whole bunch of information about the weekend event and what's happening and the full lineup of presenters and everything there. And I'd like to share, you know, Lauren is what might be referred to as sound healing goddess. And when we remember how to breathe, speak, and sing the way we were born to do, we can rediscover how to use our own voices to promote inner peace and healing. And I'm going to go ahead and open up Lauren's mic here because she's joining us all the way from the East Coast, so it's very, very late there. Lauren, welcome to Activating Compassion in the Midnight Hour.
Thank you so much, Jesse. It's so nice to be here.
You know, beautiful music, by the way.
Thank you.
It's quite a gift. So share with us a little bit about your story. What brought you into doing this work that you're doing?
Well, I am a music teacher, and I have been singing all of my life. And I was teaching voice lessons starting in about 1989, teaching as I had learned, when my voice students stopped being sick. One healed from asthma. Another one stayed with a husband because she found her voice and was able to speak her truth. Wonderful, amazing things started happening when I was teaching. But I was teaching classically as I was taught, and there was still something missing. When I discovered through my own practice and exploration, what felt the best actually sounded the best and for my ears was more universally received than my opera-trained voice was, at least for me. I stopped getting sick. I developed a whole new way of teaching, and my students started to heal even more so. And singing has led me into all kinds of different avenues of healing that I ever thought possible. It's been an amazing journey for my own self because the other part that comes up along with the breath is not only an ability to sing on key, which everybody can do, but also be able to express oneself from the core muscles, and that education is deepening almost daily.
Wow. And, you know, we have had some sound healers on the show that have talked about that very thing that you're talking about, when we express and speak from those core muscles, we really seem to tune in with our soul's voice in things.
Absolutely. People don't realize how physical the spiritual voice is and how physically we need to use our bodies to bring out the beauty and the depth and the healing vibration of our own vocal sound.
And I think that that's the powerful thing. It's amazing to me how even just a simple sound, a simple ohm or whatever it is, can open this whole flow of energy through us. Can you maybe share with us a little bit more, like the song, for example, that we just played, Angel Flying Song? Was there something that inspired that? Was there something that came
Certainly.
To you in creating that?
Absolutely. That is one of my oldest songs. I believe that was written in 1996. It was my answer to Puff the Magic Dragon. When I was 6 years old, I used to hover above my bed. I remember looking down below me and seeing the indentation of where my head used to be on the pillow. I was physically, literally flying above my bed, and I would fly with the angels then. And I told somebody about that, probably my grandmama, who said, that's impossible, that can't be done. And because they were an adult and they knew better than I stopped flying with the angels. Well, I had a memory in 1996 that brought that all back, and that's where that song came from, that one day in my peaceful place, I will again fly with the angels.
Oh, wow. I think that that also represents what happens for many children, especially in these days as our energy is developing and we see so many children coming in and we're not inhibiting them like we used to, and we're saying, well, what did you see, you know, and what is this experience? And I think that's great. People discount oftentimes what we've taken in our childhood, just like Dawana was describing with the camp experiences, and how powerful those impacts are, how open our channel. Now, we've got another song by you as well that I want to work in to our segment with you here. And this one is called Healing Has Happened. And what is that song related to? Is there something particular with that one?
That is a very recent song. In fact, I wrote that on the way home from one of my very last chemo-dremo treatments. I healed from ovarian cancer, did not heal myself by myself, but I was able to use my music and my meditation, my sense of inner spirit, and my community through my Facebook friends and my family to help me go through the experience with grace and honor and embracing every part of it. And on my way home from one of my chemo-dremo treatments, Healing Has Happened was born, and that became one of my standard affirmation anthems for my own journey.
Well, and this is interesting because this also crosses, as I said earlier, it sounds like you have some wonderful kitty energy.
Yes, definitely.
It's okay. It can have its time on the air, too. I'm good with that.
She's
that just tells
local.
Me what a wonderful person you are that you have a cat by your side.
she's always here.
Yeah, we had Stephen Halpern on last year, and, of course, he really spoke with the testament of how the megahertz in the music affect the brain waves, which completely affects our ability to heal the body and to open up that healing energy to help actually reprogram on that cellular level. So we're going to go ahead and play Healing Has Happened here, and we'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Lauren Lane Powell.
You funny kitty.
And I think it's coming through. We'll hope. Just listening to a piece called Healing Has Happened by Lauren Lane Powell, and she is one of the presenters from Earth Goddess Rising. And again, if you want to learn more about Lauren's music and her work, you can go to www.harmoniesofhealing.com. That's harmoniesofhealing.com. And Lauren, you know, this is really wonderful. I'm really glad that you're sharing these different pieces here, and I see that Susanna has popped into our switchboard as well. So I want everybody to stay tuned. What we're doing is we're highlighting some of the speakers and their work and what they're presenting at Earth Goddess Rising. So Lauren, what are you going to share at the event coming up this summer?
I'm going to do my ever-popular workshop called Harmonies of Healing, which is the website, of course, and it will also encompass my talk called Holy Shift, Everything's a Gift. I will incorporate a little bit of the healing journey through my own cancer dance and how I was able to use some of my own work as well as my music and forgiveness for the healing of cancer, and that has taken me on my journey so much farther than anything else I've ever done. So I'm looking forward so much to this wonderful retreat.
You know, you touched on a really big piece right there. Forgiveness for the cancer. And so many people are going through hardships. I know of a lot of people around my area that are dealing with cancer. And, you know, it seems like it's coming up more and more and more these days. And there's so many people that get angry over it and they get frustrated over it. But really, when we get to that forgiveness piece, that's the piece that allows us to heal, to say, yeah, I might have this, I might have it to deal with, but there's something coming from it. There's something powerful here.
Well, and there always is. I knew because of my own spiritual studies when I was initially diagnosed, of course, going through the momentary freak out is very human. But once I got quiet and practiced my own practice of being still and listening, I learned that this was a graduation gift, that I had come so far in my spirituality that this was the opportunity for me to use absolutely every one of my gifts, including forgiveness. And it wasn't so much of forgiving myself for attracting it, but possibly forgiving society in general for allowing it to become such an invasive part of our lives, and forgiving historically what has brought about cancer in our world. And at the level of which we get to forgive and forgive again, it makes no logical sense to our brain anymore. But it is to the depths of which we get to release this toxic emotion from the cellular level that brings us all to another layer of healing, which I am learning does not necessarily mean curative. Because what I'm getting is we're all going to die someday. Why not me? Why not cancer? Why not tomorrow? So for me, it's about embracing absolutely every part of it, because in healing, possibly there is a different level of understanding that is only brought about through this ease or death. So my job is to embrace it all and forgive any illusion I had about my perceived perfection looking a certain way. Because even in the throes of cancer, I knew at the depths of my soul I was perfect. Now that's a very weird, strange statement. But that kept coming to me over and over again in this place, 98 pounds, and then getting down to 89 pounds, even at that thin, emaciated, sickly self, there was something in that to love. There was something in that that was perfect, that was happening for all of us, not just me. And the joy was being able to kind of, I guess, rise above and watch the process unfold. It was quite exciting, even though I was in the middle of it all.
You know, you brought up two huge things that I'm sure I could do totally separate shows on, just for each one. And that is, healing doesn't always mean curing.
Oh, boy.
That's a gigantic big point right there, because there's so many people that says, well, if I'm healed, I'm cured. And
oh boy.
And that boy, I could just talk for hours on that. Right there.
You and I could talk. Yep.
And so that's a key thing right there, because I always see that healing coming from the inside out, and it's really about healing all the emotions and the acceptance and all of these other things. And then you also, oh gosh, I just drew a blank. You also brought in another point, and I'm drawing blank now. I was going to say,
Back,
the fact that you are perfect. No matter what is happening, no matter what the situation is, no matter what your physical body is doing, you are perfect in that moment.
Yes.
That is just an amazing, amazing thing. Lauren, tell us a little bit. We've got one more song of yours that we're going to play as we transition over to Susanna. And this one is called In This Moment. So it's actually perfect that you finished right there.
it is. It's just perfect.
In This Moment. Share with us on that song.
This is another relatively new song that came out of the Chemo Dream Well experience. I wanted to be able to give the kind of peace that I was able to maintain through the experience to other people. How best could I give it away but through a song? And when I exposed the song and presented it on Facebook, someone in San Diego Facebooked me right away and said, oh, that's beautiful. Can we use that for our Threshold Choir? And I said, oh, I would love that. Absolutely. What's a Threshold Choir? We sing at bedside for hospice. I found one in Bloomington where I live in Indiana. We are cutting our first CD. I'm going out to California. We are now singing at bedside for hospice. It is the most sacred singing I've ever done. And this is one of the songs we sing.
Oh, wow. Beautiful, beautiful work. And again, Lauren's work can be found at harmoniesofhealing.com. And Lauren, I want to thank you so much for coming in, giving us this little taster of what you're going to be getting into at Earth Goddess Rising. And for those that would like to find out more about the Earth Goddess Rising event, you can go to www.earthgoddessrising. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Lauren.
Thank you so much, Jesse, for the opportunity.
And we're going to go ahead and play that song of Lauren In This Moment, and we will be back with Susanna right after this song.
I wish you grace in this moment. I wish you peace in this moment. I wish you love in this moment. I wish you healing. I wish you grace in this moment. I wish you peace. In this moment, I wish you love. In this moment, I wish you healing. I wish you grace. In this moment, I wish you peace. In this moment. I wish you grace in this moment.
Welcome back. You are listening to Activating Compassion in the Midnight Hour. We're doing a little roundtable sort of style of guest this evening, and all of the people that we have that we're speaking with tonight are part of Earth Goddess Rising, an incredible event that is coming up this summer in Pagosa Springs, Colorado. And it's just an amazing weekend to tantalize and delight the senses and get to know some amazing people doing some amazing work, as well as have experiences. So it's not just sitting around listening to speakers and presentations, but it's actually participating in a lot of things. And this is a big thing we've been missing in our world, is not only getting out in nature, but the interaction of live events. And I can't stress how important that truly is. We've just been talking with Lauren Lane Powell, and that's where that song came from. It's called In This Moment. And we're going to go ahead and move on now to Susanna Sophia Hart. And she is a priestess of the goddess of the Sophian tradition. And she says, everyone has magical gifts and by nature is intuitive and a divine, unique treasure in the heart of the goddess energy. And Susanna is determined to bring out the inherent gifts and treasures in each person she works with. She leaves no jewel uncovered in her passionate, heartfelt desire to help each soul embrace and embody the divine spark within their own heart's temple. And you can actually learn more about Susanna's work at www.sophiatempleoflight.com. That's SophiaTempleoflight.com. And let me get her microphone to open up. Susanna, welcome to Activating Compassion in the Midnight Hour.
Oh, blessings, Jesse. Thank you so much. I'm so grateful to be on your show and to connect with you. It's really wonderful.
You know, it's a pleasure. I know that you're, what, down in the Sedona, Arizona area?
Yes, I'm living in Sedona. My home is right actually in the forest on the Red Rock Loop. So I walk out my front door every morning. I go out and drum in the forest, and I feel like a keeper of the sacred ancient volcano that's about, I don't know, 100 feet from my doorway. So it's pretty amazing to be here. And especially at this time, the energies are so high, the vibrations and all of the activations coming in. So to be in Sedona now is really, really powerful.
I've actually got several friends around the Sedona area. I used to live in Fountain Hills and go up and visit friends from time to time there in that area. So yes, there is some beautiful energy, and I can only imagine what the vortexes around there, what it's doing in these hugely, hugely transformations.
Yeah, sometimes the energies come in, and they're so powerful, the frequencies of light, you can see them. And I want to say that Lauren's music touched my heart so much, and I feel the angels singing through her, and her energy and just her music is so healing. So I'm so excited to meet her and be a part of the retreat with her. I'm just really feeling so, so blessed and excited about the event. And I had a near-death experience here in Sedona where I was struck by lightning. and I was taken to the angelic realms, and I knew that was my home. I had been working as an executive at Sony Studios, and after that experience, I could never go back, and my life was profoundly changed. But also during that experience, I realized that in that time, how presently we are alive and how life or death is a transition, that it's actually, there is no real death. We are just transitioning to another part of ourself, and it's really like a rebirth into something new. So I just wanted to share that because listening to her story and her sharing was very, very powerful for me.
You described that very well. I, too, have been through a few near-death experiences, been completely out of body, and you're absolutely, mm-hmm. my experience, I shared a very similar thing of it was just transitioning, and it had a natural vibration and feel to it. Now, share with us a little bit. You do some interesting work, and Dawana alluded that this is along the Mary Magdalene energy, but this is specifically the Sophian tradition. Can you share with us a little more about that and how you got into that?
Sure. Actually, my spiritual journey began when I was 6 years old, and I had a very religious father who was a born-again Christian, and I'm open to all religions, so when I share this story, it's with no judgment. But my father was like hell and brimstone, brimfire, you know, the world's going to end, and my mom wanted to divorce him, and he told me that for my mom divorcing him, she would go to hell, and that if I sided with her, I would also go to hell. So I was so fearful of this that I was checking on my mom constantly to make sure she hadn't disappeared into hell one night, and I was sleeping in the hallway. And at that time, I was praying really hard to Jesus and asking him, why would you send my mother to hell? And I was crying, and I'd fall asleep and wake up. And then all of a sudden, in the hallway, Jesus came. I like to call him Joshua. So he came in the hallway, and I felt his love permeate my whole entire being. And in that moment, he told me so many mysteries and truths about reincarnation. There is no hell. It's our imagination. It's man's imagination and separation from source. And these deep, deep wisdom teachings, and I took them all in there, and I knew he was my family. And so I woke up the next morning completely enlightened as a little child in this mystical experience and connection with Jesus, in which I wanted to share with everybody, but nobody really was receptive to me at that time. In fact, I got kicked out of Sunday school for my sharing, but that was okay because it set me on this path of inner knowing about the truth. And many late years later, I found the Pista Sophia book, which is Joshua's teachings to Mary Magdalene about the goddess. And as I went into the Aramaic teachings of Joshua also, you found that he was very much in belief of the divine feminine goddess, the god and goddess, the Christos Sophia, male and female, sacred divine marriage, which is often referred to as the sacrament or ceremony of the Heros Gamos. And so I started studying these teachings, and they resonated so deep with me that I began to really connect and really in my heart with like this passion, deep passion to connect with the goddess. And finally, in India, I was meditating very deeply nonstop for many, many days, and I started getting these channels. And in those channels, I just kept going up and up and up, and finally I went right to the Divine Mother. And for me, I think she could be named any name for anybody, but she was the Sophia. And I connected so deeply with her that I was in this place of just total beingness. I didn't need to go anywhere. I didn't need to eat. I didn't need anything. I was just immersed in the divine. And I stayed there for a very, very long time until the guru said, now you need to go back into life. But that experience started me on a quest of the Divine Feminine, and from there it just led me into the Pista Sophia, the work of the goddess, but always in harmony with the masculine. So for me, what I really love to work with, and it's so exciting because she's so present on the planet and speaking to so many people, is Magdalene. So I really started a mystery school called Magdala Rose Mystery School, and it is a Sophian teachings, but also with Magdala as our guiding light.
I think this is really interesting. You're right. So many people are connecting with the Magdalene energy, and I had somebody in our chat room comment that we always learn in the extremes, and boy, isn't that the truth. And I think with today we're doing a lot of learning.
Yes, it's amazing. We are. And we're on this like precipice now. I feel that even if you really look at the energies, the Aquarian Age, if you look when we go actually into the Aquarian Age of that time, it's about 260 years off, depending on, who's sharing the information. But there are so many souls on the earth right now because we all want it to come back now. We want to heal our karma. We want it to be on the precipice of being here to be the guiding lights to this time. So we're the forerunners or the forefront of this new energy, and we all want to participate.
And, you know, you brought in a good point as well, and of course there was confirmation from that chatter as well that, yes, I agree, and Mary is ever-present. And you bring in a factor that is so, so important as we're going through these growth periods, these lesson periods, which is the factor of balance. Because, Duwana talked earlier about how, you know, we need to bring this feminine energy in to create balance on this earth. And it's so true. Everything in the entire universe and beyond is about balance. And the key is that we do find that, as opposed to just saying, now we're going to replace the masculine with the feminine, because that's not necessarily the point of, say, Earth Goddess Rising or embracing the goddess energy. It's not about, hey, let's kick the masculine out because we're tired of it. It's about seeing that in ourselves, finding both and creating the balance and harmony.
Oh, my gosh, I am so connected with what you're sharing, and that's truthfully how I really, really feel. I feel like it's about balancing the energies between the masculine and feminine and within ourselves, that inner sacred marriage, which I also feel like when we look at the stars and the planets and the energies and the archetypes that they contain, that right now what's happening is these archetypes are also shifting as we grow and reflecting us. They're mirrors of our consciousness. And so right now Mars has moved into Libra, which really is the sacred marriage. And it's the masculine energy holding the divine feminine. And so these codes of light are spiraling and dancing and returning to the planet. And I went on this really amazing journey, which was so different than what I thought. I went last year at this time. I was in the south of France. And I'm very connected with Mary Magdalene and actually writing a book right now. And it has a lot of channeling information from her. And I went on the journey to actually get the story. But when I got there and started on my journey, I became very, very sick because the codes were very, very heavy for me. Not that they would be for everybody, but going back there and seeing how they portrayed her, it was really intense. And I was feeling like this is not who Mary Magdalene is. This is an image of the feminine that was really put on by people who kind of brought down the feminine energy and brought the masculine way up. So everywhere you went in these sacred sites, she was portrayed as a prostitute and a repentant whore and a sinner who had been you know, seven demons pulled out of her by Christ. So this was really, really heavy for me because I really thought I would go there and just feel this dancing energy of dancing with Mary Magdalene. And my journey was so, so deep. But as I went deeper and deeper into that, I just went into this place of really pulling those layers off myself and really getting to the inner truth. And that's when actually I came home from that trip that Mary Magdalene began to share the beautiful love story of her and Jeshua. And in that story, she shared that with many of us, so many of us that feel connected to that Christ light and that Christ family, that we were actually there. It was a much bigger circle than what ended up being portrayed of seven male apostles. There were actually 12 male apostles. There were actually 12 female apostles also. And then there were 72 circles with 12 feminine energies and 72 circles that they were all over the world with male energies. So you had this really, from the Christ Magdalene energy, you had it fanning out all over the world of the masculine and feminine imbalance. And what they did was they seeded the ley lines, the crystalline ley lines in the earth with all of this energy that would be awoken now, because they knew that the world was going to go into a darkness and that we were going to forget and go farther and farther away from our true divinity. But at this time right now that we've all chosen to come back into and be incarnated in a physical body, that at this very time, those codes would be awoken. And we are also the ones seeding them, and we would remember. And from there, the light workers would really begin to share in this energy, this rebirth of this inner ancient wisdom, but also with this really amazing consciousness of the new earth. And so it's, I don't know, such an exciting time to be here.
You know, and I'm so glad you brought up the aspects of the archetypes and stuff, because this weighs very heavily into things. I was actually talking with somebody about this very thing earlier today and paying attention to where are the lessons. I mean, let's face it, everything has this balance, and you brought in the planetary alignments, and if we even just look at our basic day, you know, the sun and the moon, and we have points mm-hmm. that they absolutely balance, and times that the moon is in charge, and times that the sun is in charge and has more time in the day, and yet it's always balancing in the long run of things in there, and that is such a beautiful key mm-hmm. in this bigger of things, because as you say, you know, we have to look at this in society's culture today, where there is so much control and so much power being exerted and so much force being exerted, and we need to wake up and realize this is the masculine out of balance, because when the yes. masculine is in balance and in harmony with the feminine energy, it doesn't operate that way. It doesn't have to control. We get to see this amazing, beautiful side of the masculine.
Yes, and it's so true. And I really feel like even in the men I'm meeting these days, and that these men are holding these codes, and they've been holding them, and they're actually it's part of their divine soul mission to birth them and to hold this sacred container for the feminine to come into her fullness. And through her fullness, they come into their fullness. And then as we go back into balance, I feel that really the consciousness is just going to keep raising. It's going to rise. And that's when we're going to tip that scale. I know that a lot of people felt like, okay, 2012, and now we're suddenly going to just rocket off and to the fifth dimension. But that's not really how it works. We really came here in this time, and it always was planned for this time, for deep healing, for really empowering ourselves. And so through empowering ourselves, clearing our karma, healing this separation from source and from our divine feminine and masculine being out of balance, then once we take that really inner empowerment and that knowing, because I really feel that we came to live magical lives. And that's what I really like to share with everybody, is that we're all so intuitive and we know inside, and we are these beautiful, amazing beings who cannot be disconnected from Source. And we're so empowered to create. We're creating with the divine. So as we begin to have that sacred inner marriage, then in our outer world also, that will be reflected back to us.
And I also know from men that do sacred masculine work and things like that, that even they will talk about, men, you got to get in your heart and tap into this goddess energy. and mm-hmm. a lot of the aggression we have is because men are needing to get into this energy space and connect with the goddess energy, connect with the sacred feminine, and to hold that space and to be that container. And they haven't been trained or taught or shown or told it's okay to do it. And we're just barely seeing the tip of men come out and embrace this. I do. It's like, oh, my God, I've been waiting my whole life for this.
Well, we've been really placed in these, like, this is this model, and this is how a woman acts, and this is how she reacts, and this is what a man does and how he reacts, and, you know, you can't cry. No, you know, you're a little boy. No, you're not going to be a man if you cry. So our feelings have been cut off, and it's sort of like this just, long lineage of, I don't want to say brainwashing, but in a way that's what happened. And it wasn't anybody's fault. Our ancestors just, that's what they learned and that's what they passed on. And now we're the generation who's saying, no, wait a minute, no, I feel something more. And because there's so much light available on the planet right now, we're able to really move through that. We're awakening and it's happening. And there's no stopping it. When somebody, I meet so many people now who are just really awakening. And they're like, what's happening with me? But I can't stop thinking of doing healing work, or I feel like I want to seek something out. And I just feel like it's just the precipice. It's just going to go like this amazing wave. And what I really feel is from the Christosophian energy, that it's a wave. And we're getting these photons, these energies, are connecting with our DNA. They know that the DNA, we're using like 5%, and the rest of it is they used to call it plastic, but I want to say fluid. And it's able for us to say, how do we want to create and mold this through our consciousness, what we're bringing, our feelings, our essence. I like to call it passion and holy love. It's how we're creating how this new world is going to be. It's pretty amazing times.
It definitely is very, very amazing times. And again, I want to mention to our listeners that if you'd like to learn more about Susanna, her work, connect with her, you can do so at www.sophiatempleoflight.com. And, you know, Susanna, it's been a pleasure to have you on here. I have Annabelle patiently waiting.
Hi, Annabelle.
We have her on patiently waiting. But I'm so glad that you could come on tonight and share some of what you're doing at Earth Goddess Rising. And I do want to mention also for the men that are listening to this show tonight that if you go onto the Earth Goddess Rising site, www.earthgoddessrising.com, there actually are certain aspects of the weekend that men can participate in, so it is open a little bit there too. It's not the whole weekend, but there are parts of it, so it's definitely worth checking out as well. Thank you so much, Susanna.
Oh, thank you so much, and I really hope to meet you someday. You just feel lovely, and I love the work that you're doing. So it's just been just such an honor to connect and share with you. Thank you, thank you, thank you so much. Many, many blessings.
Yeah, well, I'll keep that in mind whenever I pass through Arizona again.
Yes, please do. You're welcome anytime.
Thank you.
Much love.
Much love to you as well.
And we have one more guest that we're bringing on tonight that is part of the Earth Goddess Rising event. And again, I would like to mention that this is happening in Pagosa Springs, Colorado, and that's the weekend of July 11th through 13th. So it's this summer that's coming up on here. And we have also now Annabelle Vizcarra. And Annabelle has been brought to womb Hera work, pulled by a vision that together through healing and embodiment, we can receive higher frequencies and unlock the purest octave of our collective potential, merging our rational masculine and mystical feminine selves in sacred union. She is an Ayurveda practitioner intern, student of A Course in Miracles, and Jean Key's devotee. So getting her mic opened up. Annabelle, thank you for your patience tonight, and welcome to Activating Compassion in the Midnight
Thank
Hour.
Thank you, Jess. Thank you so much. No problem. I'm really actually enjoying listening to all these amazing speakers and can't wait to get there and chat with them about their work. It's truly phenomenal.
You know, I think it's always interesting, and I'm thinking, you know, when I started the show tonight, I was like, this is a really incredible experience because you're all making this connection before ever meeting face-to-face. And then when there's already going to be this energy current brought into the weekend to make it that much more amazing. So share with us a little bit about Annabelle and how do you get into the womb Hera work and what is that about?
Okay, absolutely. Well, thank you so much for having me tonight and providing this platform for us to share about our work and our passion. I actually came across this womb work as I was in my studies of Ayurveda, and I really began to see the whole goddess and you know, all this different work that comes along with diving deeper into the feminine ways, and I was very enthralled as to how life was celebrated and honored then, you know, the whole menstruation and the mystery around it and how it's been turned into such an ugly thing and a dirty thing in our society. And this really awoke something inside of me. Shortly after that, I actually was in a silent retreat in Joshua Tree, and I had this beautiful experience of communion with Yeshua. And he came to me and really taught me a lot and really gave me direction as to where I wanted to take this work and what I wanted to do with it. And of course, as the Buddhist proverb says, you know, when the student is ready, the master will appear. And I was directed to Fountain of Life, which is a beautiful container for womb and Hara work that was founded by Azra Bertrand. He's an MD, and his wife, his beautiful wife, Farron. And through them, it's been transformative for me. It's really changed my life completely, brought so much healing and even to aspects of myself that I didn't even know were there, you know, which is the case with most of us walking around with just conditioning and things that you don't even know where they come from. And because of this, what I've seen what it's done for me, and I'm so devoted to this work, I'm really inspired to bring these teachings as sort of planting seeds and then allow them to take root in the hearts of those who are ready, just as I was when I was shown, you know, what this was all about. So that's kind of how I came into this. Obviously, it's been very, you know, it's a series of events that lead us to where we get, right?
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, I know that that's I'm always interested in the journeys that people take.
Yes.
Because, you know, even though there's so many parallels out there, oftentimes, you know, there's this unawareness, and then there's this exploring, and then there's this big event, and then there's this awakening. The way it happens for each person, even though there's this pattern followed,
is a little bit different experience. And I respect how each person brings a different dimension, and this brings up the aspect that I've mentioned on some previous shows of, you know, you can take multiple people, have them doing the same thing, or have them go through the same experience, and they all come out with different pieces. And that's why there really never can be too many people doing something, in a sense, because they each bring a different perspective to it. And they each bring a different piece that is valuable, and they're going to connect to people that other people won't connect to.
Absolutely. I agree with you. And I feel that's the part where it taps into the genius inside of our blueprints. You know, although we are all one and we're a web of wounds and haras, there's still a specific gift that we are all given. And the way that we express that's our own unique way of how spirit works through us. So absolutely.
And so tell us a little bit more about what are you going to present while you're at Earth Goddess Rising? What will be the work that you're sharing?
Well, it's Womb Awakening, and it is also it's about sacred union consciousness. And Womb Awakening is actually it's the return of an ancient spiritual path, and some people will know it as womb religion as well. We take a lot of different aspects from ancient wisdom, and it is a way of living that has been forgotten, and it's been under fierce attack for the last 5,000 years or more. In the return of the feminine, I want to clarify, it's not only for women, it's also for men. And just like you were mentioning before, it's the feminine qualities, you know, it's the qualities that can exist in a man and or a woman. And it's about caring about what life is going to be like for our future generations. It's about the values of nurturing, of caring for our earth, and of allowing ourselves to tap into feelings and using those as portals to access spiritual consciousness and be able to recover our innocence that we have left behind along the way. So it's truly a process of remembering and relearning to hold our bodies as a sacred temple and enter it with holiness and be in reverence to the wisdom that is already there. And also, you know, we integrate a lot of ancient practices and rituals from various lineages. Our teachers have done an amazing job at creating this container where we are guided to remember through these practices how to awaken and activate these energies inside of us. We're allowed to be taken into those forbidden places that we have been hiding. And it's also, we understand that spirituality happens in the body. We have hormones that facilitate this for us. And our consciousness is not separate from our being. And we really emphasize on a descent approach. So rather than an ascension, we are descending back into our essence, into the wisdom that is held in our bodies and for which the womb is our oracle. And I don't know if you've heard this before, but, you know, in ancient Greece, the womb oracle priestesses of Delphi were consulted by royalty and politicians before any decision was made. And that just gives us an idea of the power that we hold and is dormant and not all of us know that it's there. And so Womb Awakening is really saying enough to half-heartedness of being alive. It's really making a declaration to be free, to live fully, and not to be in this half-baked version of ourselves, which a lot of us find ourselves in.
You bring up some good points, and I had somebody in the chat room that mentioned, yes, she's right. We are constantly unlearning what we have taken on throughout growing up. And with this work, there would be, I would imagine, a lot of activation of the root chakra going on. And this is a big tail sign in a lot of ways, because that energy tends to be very blocked. We've been very, very suppressed in that root chakra energy. Don't do this, don't do that, don't open that up, don't feel here, don't, you know, all these different things. And yet this is exactly what needs to be opened right now through this work in this nurturing, caring way as you're presenting it. I find this powerful. I was actually writing on something, and you cued into something very, very important, which is the feelings. More and more today, we have been taught, shut down those feelings, don't feel this, don't feel that. And I actually, just before coming on the show, was writing about being blind, did a short little post on being blind. And what causes us to go blind is our lack of feeling. So this is a very powerful tie, because we're seeing more and more people having eye problems, and we want to blame it on the computers, which I'm not saying they don't contribute, because the eye strain is there. But what are the computers doing really? Is it really about the eye strain, or is it really about shutting down our emotions?
Right, so absolutely. And even that ties in, even being in front of the computer or in front of TV, it really ties into just as wanting to be distracted from feeling. You know, when you move away from that, you're actually by yourself, and things come up for you right away. You want to text, or you want to call, or you want to turn on the radio, because it's just to drown out that little voice inside of us.
And isn't it strange, we've been programmed now in that way, that instead of feeling the moment and embracing it and taking it into that womb space and nurturing it and developing it, the first thing we do is pull away from it and talk to somebody else.
Absolutely, absolutely. And, you know, we are hologenetic beings, and we're constantly projecting outwards what exists in us. And then we ask ourselves why we're attracting, you know, people who are detached, who are emotionally unavailable, you know. But all of that exists inside of us. All the places that we cannot love another are the places where we don't allow us to be ourselves, where we don't love ourselves. And, you know, you mentioned something earlier about the root chakras, it's very important that, you know, we understand that there's energetic gateways inside of us, and we call them grail gates. But this is where Shakti flows through us. You know, when we are in balance and we're feeling good, this is what allows that feeling of divinity flow inside of us. And these grail gates, when they are out of balance, this is where our past traumas, our hurts, our betrayals, they're all embedded in there on a cellular level. And we don't understand that. We don't understand that when we begin to pay attention to that and really deal with those feelings and those uncomfortable thoughts that come up for us, then we begin to really tap into the healing. That is really where the healing begins, where it is uncomfortable, where there's an upset. And those are just clues as to where we can find our gifts, because all of our shadows contain gifts.
Absolutely. And the feelings are actually the key connection to the divine energy, as we connect to it in balance between the masculine and the feminine. And so this is a big key where we do need to embrace this work for men, for women, both, to give them that safe container to open the feelings, because it is a very vulnerable, very fragile space, but yet it's in that vulnerability, that willingness to be vulnerable in the emotions, that we find a true power, as you say, to heal.
Exactly. You know, we really have to open up to that, come with an open heart and humble ourselves to that wisdom, because it is very difficult for a lot of people know that they have to go through something uncomfortable in order for them to gain the healing, you know. And just as you were mentioning before, you know, specifically with men, when they're children, they're brought up not to feel, not to cry. You know, you need to be a man or man up. All these things that society, you know, they're embedded in us the moment that we are born. You know, once they say it's a girl, it's a boy, that's where it really begins. And by us understanding that gentleness with ourselves, we allow to be gentle to others. And we can have a partner and give our partner that space as well, that they can be vulnerable, that they don't have to hold it together all the time, because we also need that. And I feel that's really the key when you begin to really see the aspects of yourself where, you know, this really bothers me. Why? And begin to ask the questions why. And learning how to connect to our womb or our hara, if you're a man, learning to drop into that space and really begin to trust that, because we don't trust ourselves, you know, which is why we don't trust life. We don't trust Gaia. And it really, you know, our planet right now, the current state of our planet is really such a reflection of our state of being. You know, we have been butchered and severed from our societies. All the qualities of the feminine, our bodies of water are being filled and contaminated, but all they're doing is really mirroring where our bodies are. And we just, it really brings us to the feelings of separateness, of unworthiness, of inadequacy. And we self-sabotage, and so it's really womb awakening. What it really does, it really teaches you or it guides you on how to journey into those places and how to bring them out and shine love on them and shine light on them and really parent yourself back into that healthy state in your emotions.
Yes, definitely. And you know, I had somebody in the chat room mentioning too, each outcome is okay whether we believe it or not. It could be seemingly bad, but it's all for the better. And then also, fear is our worst enemy. That's what we're taught, is fear. And it's true, because we have so much control going on, as we've talked about, and you know, that fear is again, part of losing the balance, as you say, and our world is tremendously, I wholeheartedly agree with you, a reflection of where we're at. We're out of balance in the masculine. We need to reestablish a balance, a caring for people, a concern for people. And, it's so true, and you talk about, yeah, it's a scary place sometimes to face those fears or to acknowledge, man, I'm actually struggling with this, because we're told you can't struggle with that. It doesn't matter whether you're a woman or man. You can't have these struggles. You can't do that. And, you know, yet once we break through them, we opened into this beautiful space of freedom. It's kind of like the Band-Aid that you're trying to rip off, and it's like, if you just rip it, it's going to be just a couple of seconds of pain. You know?
Absolutely. You know,
if
and
you
even,
don't
and even
get
as
that
you mentioned,
cleaned up in there, it's going to be a huge
it's
amount.
It's
going to
get
pain.
Infected. Absolutely.
Exactly.
Even as you mentioned before, how, you know, about the sight, the losing of the vision. You know, it's almost like we have a free will. And our choices, nobody's going to come and walk the journey for us. Nobody's going to come and heal for us. That's something that we have to take responsibility for ourselves. And, you know, many people, like you mentioned, they say it's very uncomfortable. They don't want to go to that place. But then comes disease down the road, because the body wishes to express itself. And it's going to start knocking harder until you listen to it and you pay attention. And like somebody in the chat said, you know, it's not good or bad. It just is. So your body is going to express it, and whether that comes in disease, that's you know, just how it chooses to express itself. But wouldn't it be so much nicer if we can all just look at what we need to look at, see where we need to heal, accept it, forgive ourselves. You know, a lot of it was not even our fault. A lot of it is the conditioning. Fear is paralyzing, and it holds us back in many ways. But if we could just forgive ourselves for all the seemingly the quote-unquote bad choices that we have made, we can begin to move forward and begin to heal and get on that journey. And it's also so important because when we heal, it is not just for ourselves that we're doing it. We're doing it for our future generations. We are doing it for our children, for our families, because this doesn't only spiral backwards, but when you are healed, your vibration raises and those around you feel it. And then they face the fact, do I get on this journey or do I not? And a lot of people, I know that I went through this myself, where once I began to really do my work, and I had a lot of friendships that ended that could no longer be around me because it was too much for them, or, you know, and which is okay because we all have our journeys. But it just goes to show how you're not just in service for yourself, but through that, you're in service to everyone else because we really are all one.
And you summed it up very nicely there, Annabelle, which is it's not just about us. It's about our future generations. It's about all of life and history. And Annabelle, we're winding down here, but I want to thank you so much for coming in and sharing this work with us that you're doing and helping us to understand your piece at Earth Goddess Rising.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. And I'm looking forward to doing some excavation at this beautiful retreat that Dumana has put together for us.
And I'm getting also confirmation from the chat room. Our vibration affects the whole world. And thank you, Annabelle. And I just
thank
want to
you.
Mention to
thank
people
you,
again, we've had a wonderful lineup of people. We've been talking about the Earth Goddess Rising event going on the July 11th through 13th in Pagosa Springs, Colorado. And definitely worth checking it out. You can check it out at their website, www.earthgoddessrising.com. Certainly a big thank you to all of our guests tonight, Dawana, for founding and talking about the organization, to Lauren Lane Powell, who shared her work with the music. Again, her website is harmoniesofhealing.com, to Susanna Sophia Hart, doing her work in the Sophian tradition. You can learn more about her work at sophiatempleoflight.com. And, of course, Annabelle Vizcaro, where you can learn more about her work at thefountainoflife.org. So great places to go check everybody's work out. Next week here on Activating Compassion in the Midnight Hour, we're going to have Craig Lane on, and we're going to be delving into things such as iridology, sclerology, geoengineered nanoparticles. If that's not a few terms for you, I'm not sure what is. Definitely tune in. Craig is doing some amazing, amazing work, and you're going to find a lot of interesting pieces of information coming in from him next week. And I want to remind you, too, that you can check out my work, the work I'm doing, the videos, archived shows, and monthly specials. I have a great monthly special on coaching sessions right now. You can check all that out on my website, which is jessieannnicholsgeorge1.com. And don't forget, we've got several shows here on Main Street Universe throughout the week. Sunday nights, we have Darren Bouquer, who's a reader at Madame Laveau in New Orleans, doing spiritual insights. Monday nights is Randy Goldberg, doing Vedic astrology. Tuesdays, we have Susan Weed, who is sharing her work in herbs and natural plants. Wednesday nights, Daniel, Janice, and Brett, who host our flagship show. They have various guests, do different things on the show, address different topics. Thursdays, we have Queen Mother Amaku,
who looks at Egyptian culture. Fridays, we have Kevin Baird walking on the sidewalk with his Horizon Oracle Journeys deck that he created. You can learn more about that deck at templeofgaia.com. And, of course, Friday nights is Activating Compassion in the Midnight Hour. This is Jesse Ann Nichols-George, and I want to thank you so much for being here tonight. It's been a great show. Certainly, again, thank you to all of our listeners, not only on Blog Talk Radio, but also those streaming live on PEN, or known as Para-Encounters Network, StreamFinder, TalkStream Live, as well as those catching our podcast at iTunes and TuneIn.com, as well as those that are catching the YouTube version, which will be up and available anywhere from about 12 to 24 hours after the show finishes here tonight. And I look forward to seeing you back here next week as we delve more into activating compassion. Don't forget, if you've enjoyed the show this evening, share it with others. It's going to be available at this same link in our archives. And if you don't see the link with where you're listening through it to, you can go on my website, again, my name under the Main Street Universe tab, Jesse Ann Nichols George, the number 1.com. And I'm going to leave you tonight with just a little song going on from Earth Goddess Rising, their theme song tonight, and check out their work, www.earthgoddessrising.com. Thank you.
The first Earth Goddess Rising retreat is set for July 11, 12, and 13 of 2014. Embrace your divine feminine and balance the masculine. Nourish your body, mind, and spirit with a three-day program intended to inspire, clear, and heal your being. You don't want to miss out on the great early ticket sales. Need more information? Explore EarthGoddessRising.com. Cash in on the early bird ticket sales today. EarthGoddessRising.com.